You're listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, earth, economy, spirit, and community, all six areas of the healthful living model. If you're tuning in today, listening for Michael Norton, author of 365 Ways to Change the World, he'll be on next Thursday. Slight scheduling mishap on my part on the website, so tune in next Thursday to connect in with Michael Norton. Today on Reality Sandwich, we'll be speaking about what is enlightenment. What is enlightenment? On Reality Sandwich, we aim every week to be bringing insightful subject matter on, as we had mentioned, the various aspects of the Healthful Living model. And at Healthful Living, we have created a model of six major areas that we are focusing our awareness, our emerging awareness, on the health of those areas. And that's health of body, as we were saying. And we've had plenty of shows in the past about the health of our body and alternative practitioners and holistic practitioners and getting into quantum physics and all sorts of different subjects for health of the mind, health of environment and earth as well. Certainly we've had they've been talking about how it is that we are affecting our planet and how our actions are affecting all the things in our environment and how that affects ultimately our health and the health of everyone. And whether it's earth, economy, community, or health of spirit, health of mind, the common theme here has been you, the individual, and the reality that we're living in a significantly changing time, in a time of incredible and infinite opportunity. I, for one, have always spoke of this as the notion of expanding openness within us, and we've also speak of it in terms of expansion of collective human consciousness in this fascinating time that we're living in. So what am I speaking about, Martin? Well, it's leading me to the fact that recently I've connected with an incredible body of knowledge and a fascinating organization that's out there doing incredible work with regard to this experience, this evolution of humanity that we're now all living through and co-creating together. And it's something that I anticipated occurring and, in fact, was just sort of living my life in a way, saying, you know what, we know that we're doing incredible things today, and we're coming from our heart, and we're trying to help make a positive change, and we're having great guests on, and we're talking about all these different things, and we all know that deeper inside that it has to do with us and something in our own minds and our own consciousnesses about how it is that we are being. And that leads me to this notion of enlightenment. What is enlightenment? What is this place that we believe in, that we've heard of, that we're in pursuit of, that we're moving towards? And to that end, I have today the senior editor of What is Enlightenment magazine, which is put out by Enlighten Next. And we're going to hear all about both the magazine, Enlighten Next, the organization, their teachings, their perspective on consciousness and human evolution and what's going on. So I want to introduce Ross Robertson. When I read Ross's bio, I said it feels like somebody that, you know, a kindred spirit. And Ross is the associate editor of What is Enlightenment, and he's been with them for the past 4 years. And he brings bringing to their magazine, and I'm reading from his bio, deeper cultural impact of popular spiritual forms. And he's been following the phenomena of conscious expansion in our society over the past number of years and his observations and aspects of contemporary culture that merge entertainment, arts, spiritual awakening, and popular utopianism. I love that phrase. His work has begun to illuminate some of the intriguing channels and fissures spreading through American social and spiritual life. Arising from his own search for depth and meaning in the age of superficiality and indifference, and from his generation's ambivalent nostalgia for the idealism of previous decades, Ross is keen to open up new avenues for social reflection. I welcome a brother to the show, Ross Robertson, and I can't wait to hear the beautiful work that you guys are doing. Ross, are you here on the line?
I'm here, Martin. Thank you very much. It's great to be here with you today.
I hope you don't mind my overly glowing introduction, because I'm just fascinated with what you guys are doing and what your work is. And we also have on the line Joel Pitney, who's also connected in with Enlighten Next, and he's connected here in the Bay Area, so we'll hear more about what's going on there. But let's get to Ross. And Ross, let's just begin with a bit of your background and how you've been connected and what is Enlightenment magazine?
All right. Well, what is Enlightenment? Just to start with that, I think, I mean, what is Enlightenment is a magazine that was founded by a contemporary spiritual teacher named Andrew Cohen, who started a magazine 15 years ago now, a little more than 15 years ago. And it came out of his own inquiry into the nature of enlightenment, and also even more than that, into really the relevance and the meaning of enlightenment for the modern world, and for a world that where we know about evolution. You know, basically he came out of the Indian Vedanta tradition. His teacher was a man named Punjaji in India, who was a traditional Advaita Vedanta teacher. And Andrew had an awakening experience with him and began to teach, but very quickly became more interested in the meaning of enlightenment for how do we live our lives, and what does it really mean in the world in a Western context than he did in the Eastern one. And so he basically started the magazine because it was very related to his own developing inquiry into how to bring enlightenment into action in the world.
Mm. And what sort of subject matter? What is the magazine presenting by way of its editorial, its content?
Well, it started out in a much more spiritual frame, really, you know, a deeply philosophical frame, kind of speaking again about a kind of a reframing and a redefinition of enlightenment in a context of evolution. And then for about 4 years ago, which is when I started working on the magazine, I'm also one of Andrew Cohen's students. He's my spiritual teacher, and I've been with him for about 8 years. And he's the founder of the magazine. He's also my teacher, and he's also the editor-in-chief of the magazine. So I have a kind of double relationship with him, where he's my editor and also my guru. But I started working on the magazine 4 years ago when we went quarterly. It had been just twice a year up to that point. And then we started publishing four times a year, and we really broadened the scope of the magazine beyond spiritual and philosophical inquiry into the nature of enlightenment alone, and really tried to spread it out and really increase its relevance to a whole range of questions. You know, it reminds me of many of the things that you set up at the beginning of this interview with your own categories of, you know, what does it mean socially in terms of politics? What does it mean? What is the relationship of enlightenment to the environment, to culture? What about popular culture? What about the arts? So there's, you know, what about business? So there's a whole range of topics that we have looked at in the past, and you know, we'll continue to look at in the future. But it all, you know, our tagline used to be, it's changed now, but it used to be redefining spirituality for an evolving world.
Mm.
It really is about pushing the edge of how we understand who we are and what we're doing here, and in the context, as I said before. I mean, it's a lot to throw at you at the beginning, but we can go further into this as we talk.
Well,
it's really in the context of a new form of enlightenment, which Andrew calls evolutionary enlightenment. Again, it's enlightenment in a world of change and development and evolution.
Right. Well, it's absolutely wonderful for me to discover that there is an entire magazine and very well established, I might say, you know, already speaking about this stuff. And we know, you and I and many of us that are listening, that, you know, many of us are waking up, and I use that in a very simplistic context of becoming more enlightened, becoming more conscious, becoming more aware of our historical patterns and knowledge and information and how that impacts who we are right now in the current moment, and how we can be remind ourselves that we are at choice about how we are in the current moment, thus at intentional choice about influencing what comes next and what comes in the future in every area of life.
Right.
And the exciting thing is that the more that we're able to read about that, the more that we're able to share our experiences with one another, the more that people get sparked and triggered in their own way to come forward and connect with like-oriented people. And what could we need more today than to know who else and to spread that with others that are doing the same thing and focused in the same direction? So tell me, please, a little bit more about what are you writing about right now? What's kind of on your emerging mind? I know that I spoke briefly earlier, and you've got some sort of new green article coming up. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Great. Yeah, that's right what I'm immersed in right now, which is I was an environmentalist since college. I was a forest activist in college and afterwards in San Francisco, actually, for a number of years. And I'm writing an article now about a movement that I didn't know about then, although it was beginning back then. But it's called Bright Green. I don't know if you've heard of Bright Green before. A website that people may know about is called World Changing, worldchanging.com. Have you heard of that term before, Bright Green?
No, I haven't.
It's the easiest definition would be it's an environmentalism that embraces change and embraces technology and embraces business, embraces globalization, embraces many of the things that from a traditional environmental or conservation kind of perspective are the problem themselves. So it's radical in that it's trying to really look at how can we create sustainability that's not going to just be pulling us to live more locally and to try to kind of reduce our impact personally on the environment, although there's nothing wrong with either of those things, but it's really a very global perspective on sustainable development and a kind of radical sustainable design that's embracing sort of human ingenuity and creativity and including technology and the kind of powerful engine of business and enterprise to try to redesign redesign the whole material infrastructure of the way we live on the planet, not just in the developing world, but also in the developing world and in countries where there are millions and millions of people are trying to bring themselves up out of poverty, and we can't just tell them, hey, we did it wrong over here, you guys should appreciate the local life that you have and not develop. They're saying basically, it's a fundamental drive in people, and there's nothing wrong with the urge to better our standard of living. We need to provide and design ways for the whole world to do that are going to be profoundly sustainable. Otherwise, we may not make it.
Right. I want to back up just briefly and ask you to tell me when you speak of enlightenment, how do you define that? What is enlightenment?
Wow, we got a string of big questions here.
Well, of course it's a big question.
There's no problem with it. It's just each of these are really big topics. I would say that the simplest definition of enlightenment would be awakening to an experience of and a conscious relationship to consciousness beyond ego. That's the key. It's always enlightenment has always represented a state of being beyond the separate self sense, beyond the kind of movement and up and down movement of the mind and of the emotions, and that's traditionally what enlightenment has meant. And in our case, we add the word evolutionary to the front of enlightenment, and that is it's really a reorientation of the goal of enlightenment, of waking up to a part of oneself that is free from ego, free from separation, and free from the kind of inherent conflict in the nature of the divided individual self, but that is very oriented towards action, like I said earlier, in the world, towards how we relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so freedom from ego is the kind of fundamental framework that Andrew's teaching is based on, and that the work we do with the magazine is based from. And it's a very wonderful and challenging topic to go into, but fundamentally, we feel that enlightenment beyond ego in a context of change and development is really, it's what we all need in the world today when we need to be able to come together in a higher context where we can work together and we can not necessarily agree even on everything, and there can be conflict and creative tension and creative friction, but where we can actually create a ground, a stable ground between us where we can, you know, we can productively move forward rather than, you know, rather than not.
And that this awakening is it's a natural part of human evolution. This is where we are in time, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really, I see it really as the next step in human evolution, which is emerging, absolutely emerging today. And again, has been, I mean, there have been mystics and saints and sages for thousands of years who have awakened to the depths of their own being, you know, to the depths of their own consciousness. And you can see this reflected in every tradition, West and East. But the thing that's new today is the orientation really towards manifestation, towards the world. You know, it's, you know, most people would probably are aware of, you know, that a kind of model, like say a Western, a Judeo-Christian model that's oriented towards heaven, that, you know, like a heaven beyond this world, you know, you want to do good in this life in order to get to heaven when you die. It's oriented towards the afterlife, really. So the morality that applies to how we behave and act here is aimed at what's going to happen to me when I die. And the Eastern traditions are less overtly so, but they're still oriented towards this kind of state of awareness and awakeness that's unchanging, you know, that is kind of never comes and goes. There's a stability and a peacefulness and a freedom and a bliss beyond ego, which is what enlightenment has always traditionally meant. And again, I used the word, I used the word creative friction earlier, and I think that's fundamentally what has always driven Andrew is the intuition that he had early on that, you know, that enlightenment, for it to really mean something in the world, it had to be able to be brought into action, and it had to mean something about, you know, about integrity and about our own moral framework and the very structure of our relationships with each other that would be radically new and that would be radically positive, and that would allow us to orient ourselves in a world that's very confusing and that's filled with conflict, but to have a deeper orientation and to kind of translate the freedom and the perfection and the stability and stillness that you wake up to in meditation, for example, in the depths of consciousness, but to be able to translate that into the world of movement and struggle and difficulty and action.
Well, that always seems to be the challenge, since applying these ways of being seems to be, you know, a whole different ballgame than, you know, believing them or having an intuitive sense that it resonates with you. Because when we speak of these things, people are often like, well, yes, of course. I mean, that's how I really feel inside, and that makes sense to me. And why can't the world behave this way? And imagine if we, in this company or this group or whatever, if we all just really, you know, trusted one another, you know, if we were all, you know, on the same page, how much more efficient and effective and incredible we would be if we were focusing on peace and not on our differences and fighting. Yet the world that we've created, as you're saying, is one where we've been caught in such habitual patterns and ways of being that separate us, that keep us apart, that keep us pointing out our differences, that keep us in our own little internal selves and belief that we're all little independent beings. And that plays out in, you know, really every spectrum of how our individual lives manifest in the physical world. And as we go forward, we learn. And you guys are creating, and let's go, and I say you guys, now this is what's behind Enlightened Next magazine. What is Enlightenment magazine is Andrew Cohen's organization, Enlightened Next. Let's speak a little bit about that, because there's a whole organization behind this that's having impact around the world and teaching and sharing. And can you tell me a little bit about what's going on with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Enlightened Next is the publisher of What is Enlightenment magazine, and it's the organization that, you know, that has been born out of Andrew's teaching work, which is, like I said, it's the inspiration for WIE, but it's also much broader than that. So we're an international nonprofit organization which basically brings people together all over the world who are interested in the next step for human consciousness and for human culture, basically. Revolution in consciousness and culture. Consciousness and culture is what we're dedicated to. And the way we, fundamentally it's about engagement. So it's to provide a platform for engagement, you know, between people in all walks of life and in all areas to really to explore, you know, the very things we're talking about now and that we explore in the magazine, but to meet together with each other to increase their own understanding and to actually create this new culture. Because one of the fundamental kind of points that I would make is that you know, what we see as the next step in human evolution, it hasn't been created yet. It's everything you're saying. You know, there's a growing sense in so many of us that things really do have to change, and that it's up to us to change them. And so EnlightenX really exists as a ground for people to come together and meet in order to do that. And we put on Andrew's teachings around the world. He leads long retreats where people come together, you know, hundreds of people come together to really go deeply into a lot of these questions for a sustained period of time. He also gives talks and lectures all over the world. And we have we publish his books. We've got websites for the teachings of Andrew Cohen. We've got WIE whole web universe, and we've also got a new exciting project that we're putting out, which is we're calling the Universe Project, and that's kind of the simplest way for people to find out about EnlightenX is to learn about the Universe Project, which is basically what we're all involved in. It's what we're calling this next step for consciousness and culture. And so EnlightenX is kind of the broad category of an organization that's really trying to make a change and bring everything we're pursuing in the magazine into the world and make it real and allow people to really engage with it and help co-create it together.
I'm looking at some of the pages from the website and some of the courses there. There's one here called The Liberation of Consciousness in the 21st Century, The Path of Evolutionary Enlightenment. Meditation and Evolution, Living with Meaning and Purpose is another course, Leading by Example, Beyond the Individual, Awakening the Field of Consciousness, The Qualities of Collective Awakening. Going through your website, I'm finding it just, you know, very easy to bounce around and interact, and I'm seeing that you guys are really using multimedia in an incredible way. So people can go through the website and begin their inquiry there and get connected immediately, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. I appreciate you saying that. I mean, the best place to go really is the web at this point. I think Joel maybe has the URL to give folks for. If you want to announce it? I just don't have it on the top of my head. What is the Universe Project? So we're doing a sort of a soft launch of this Universe Project site now, but it's a great place to go to get started. I mean, the main website is andrewcohen.org, which is andrewcohen.org, and then the other one is the magazine's website, which is wie.org. But the Universe Project is at the Enlighten Next page, and that's, what is it?
It's www.enlightennext.org/universe-project, and it's important to remember there's two N's in Enlighten Next.
Right, enlightennext.org
exactly.
Is where you can go. Now, what's the makeup of your organization? I mean, are people coming forward from all different walks of life, or, you know, is it only the sages on top of the hill?
Well, it's definitely not sages on top of the hill, but it's not covering the broadest spectrum you could possibly come up with. It, you know, one of the kind of dimensions of what we're doing is really, you know, it's looking at kind of human development in stages. You know, and there's a certain point of human development before which, you know, you're not really free to think even about these things because you're worried about surviving or thing, you know. So it's really for the leading edge. It's for the leading edge of culture. And we're interested in moving the entire world forward and in supporting that in every way we can. But in terms of our own work, it specifically has to do with you and I and that's a lot of people. You know, Paul Ray, the sociologist Paul Ray, you know, has called it, you know, the cultural creatives.
Mm-hmm.
There's 50 million of us or so in the States and many more around the world, but it's really the kind of postmodern stage of consciousness where they're so highly educated and tend to be very, you know, relatively at least free to kind of pursue deeper interests I'm trying to think of how to say this. And basically, there's, you know, there's, it's a kind of cultural
a cultural subset that's often also defined by, you know, by the feeling of frustration and of isolation and of and often of narcissism too. And so there's a whole kind of cultural frame that goes with it. And so we're really trying to reach out to people who, you know, which is exactly the category I fall in. And we're trying to reach out to people who want to find ways to move beyond the kind of age of the individual where we're all more free than we've ever been before to pursue our interests, you know, in any way we want, and yet we find it still, you know, oddly cut off from each other. We find ourselves hungry for something more and want to learn what, you know, what it's going to take to actually to be able to come together with each other to create that. And that's where ego comes in. That's where, you know, that's where evolution beyond ego comes in, and why we believe that enlightenment and spiritual development really is a crucial aspect of cultural change and social progress.
Let's speak about it more directly in terms of this is what's going on, and really the ultimately most important thing that's happening currently or ever on our planet. So when we you know, we get in these discussions and we say, oh, well, holistic or complementary medicine is the emerging alternative thing that's really a lot of people are now focusing on versus the medical. No, it is an inherently human reality sandwich, real perspective of what's going on in the world. And let's talk about it directly in that way, because the other way that has been dominant is not an inherently human perspective. And we now, we say 50 million cultural creatives, well, we could just call them conscious people, right? I mean, people that are believing that their consciousness, what's going on in their minds, their way of being, affects what's happening in their world, and that the way to maximize that is through openness and opening oneself up to reach out and connect with like-minded others so that we all may flourish, not to be closed off and pursue a manner of, you know, individuation and ego-drivenness, and it's all about me and the more I get and competition and all that kind of stuff that we've talked about on this show for years. So I feel every time I have these discussions that it's like, yes, there's conscious people, and those that are either, well, let's put it in a mild way, we say stuck in the matrix, stuck in those patterns. They're not necessarily doing it even by choice, and that's the travesty of it, that they've been caught in this pattern. The environment has perpetuated it and keeps us separated, and it's a whole different show about the forces that are keeping us there and the people that are perpetuating that upon us. But more and more of us are waking up and saying, hey, this is not what we want to be involved in creating, and we must grab together with others to create organizations, to write about it, to invite others in so that together we can hopefully reach a tipping point where this way of being, through the inherently human process of social facilitation, allows for others to come. As we collectively organize and speak and put our intentions out there, we shift a vibration around us, which creates space and a shifting environment for others to fall inward and to connect in these ways. And it is what's happening right now. And I'm on my soapbox a little bit here, because I don't think that there's anything more important to really be speaking about and helping us all to find ways to make the environment as inviting as possible to spread this, to include everyone, to include everyone as best we can, and to make it such that no matter where you are in your own process, that you can come forward and connect in others in a completely free of inhibition environment, no matter who you are. There's no judgment and nothing but openness with regard to that. Now, you guys, I just want to bring it back, because you're having an event tonight in Berkeley, yes?
Yes, indeed.
And
I'm out in California.
People can come and meet you in person?
Yeah, I would love it. I'm going to be giving a talk tonight. It's called Creativity Beyond Ego, and I'm going to speak. It's going to be an exciting kind of blend of my own story. I'll go a bit into my own background and what drew me to what I'm doing now. I was a poet and a musician and interested in creativity, and also coming up against some of the challenges of that I was speaking about earlier, and then discovered Andrew and discovered his whole perspective, which was really liberating to me in my own life, and then started working for the magazine. So it's going to be the story of what is enlightenment, kind of the inside story of the way we work together, the way, the kind of creativity that we engage in together, which is a very collaborative, collective process. We really work very closely with each other at the magazine to develop what, you know, our inquiry, that everything we're looking into. So it's going to be about that whole process and about a way of understanding creativity that's very radical. It's something I never knew about until I started working for WIE. So I'm really excited to share it with people, and it's going to be at 7:30 tonight in downtown Berkeley at a place called the Jazz Cafe, which is on Addison Street. The address is 2087 Addison Street. And again, it's at 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. And it'd be fantastic if anyone's interested to learn more about What is Enlightenment magazine, about Andrew Cohen and his teachings of evolutionary enlightenment, about Enlighten Next, and everything we're doing, and about this new exciting initiative we have called the Universe Project, which is really trying to spread it to a much wider audience, to really connect with people all over, and you know, and very much in what you were just saying, at the leading edge of the people who are waking up and becoming more conscious, to try to galvanize a new potential there. So
So Ross, where are you seeing some of the inroads that are taking place out there?
Where am I seeing some of the inroads?
Yeah, as far as where this movement, this shift is having some foothold, perhaps.
Well, for example, I never really was able to go much into the article that I'm writing now, because that's one inroad that I'm very interested in at the moment, which is an inroad into the environmental world. You know, I kind of left the context of environmental activism because I felt that we needed deeper answers.
Mm-hmm.
I believe very passionately in trying to safeguard and protect the environment and to create a sustainable world. And I worked for years doing it, but I also got burned out myself, and I saw people around me getting burned out. And I felt that there was a way that people people could go a certain distance with each other working together, but at a certain point, people seem to inevitably run into structures within themselves that were divisive and that caused conflict and that made it difficult for people to work together. And so, as part of my own kind of spiritual interest, I left environmentalism for a while to really try to pursue kind of a solution in myself. And the thing I'm so excited about this movement that I called Bright Green earlier, is that it embraces something that Andrew calls the authentic self. You know, it basically is a part of us that's already free of ego, so already free of these structures that are in the way, and it's a function in consciousness. It's something that more and more people are waking up to, and it's inherently creative, and it is inherently brings us together, and it inherently cares about the future. It's a part of part of me and a part of you that we can kind of connect instantly in this interest in the future. And in creating a brighter future. And so there's in one of the kind of fundamental ways I think about environmentalism is that it's been a kind of corrective move. And if you look at history, it's like the Industrial Revolution, caused damage all over the place, and people that began to wake up to what we were doing, on Earth, basically started to say, hey, we've got to hit the brakes here. We have to become more sensitive to the impacts that we're causing and try to kind of slow ourselves down, which is all true, and I don't disagree with any of it still. But the thing that I think is exciting about Bright Green, and why I brought it up when you asked about an inroad into a new way of relating to culture change and to environment, changing the world, is that it really embraces human creativity, and it embraces the human presence here. It's not afraid of being on the planet. You know, as an environmentalist, you can kind of begin to feel guilty about your own existence, because no matter what you do, it seems you're having some kind of negative impact. You know, the systems that we've designed, not just consumer products, because you can do a certain amount to try to shop and buy and live green, but everything, the infrastructures, the telephone lines that we're talking on now, the roads that we drive on or the roads that we bike on, doesn't matter, The infrastructure that we're all using for our lives is inherently unsustainable, and we need to basically redesign the whole thing from the bottom up. And as a platform for action in yourself, I always found it difficult to kind of feel that I was kind of guilty for ruining the world, but I didn't quite know how to respond to the situation that seemed bigger and more challenging than
than I knew how to handle. And that's why I say bright green it can be a real path forward because the way I see it, it really connects to this deeper awakening to consciousness where we realize that actually we're free to really remake things utterly, you know, we're the ones that are responsible for what we're doing. We're not victims of our circumstances, but we can engage very positively in a radically new future. And it involves really changing the way we think. It's a deep shift.
Absolutely. And to your earlier point, which you touched on there, which is one of the reasons why we get so inhibited, is because we implicate ourselves in the involvement of, you know, where we are now, and once we become more conscious of that, it's very easy to slip into an apathetic state of, oh my God, it's just too far gone. I mean, what the heck can I do? And plus, I'm feeling so responsible for everything I've done already that, you know, it's very easy to just clam back up in the shell of denial because so many people in our environment are doing the same thing and keeping their heads down and hoping that the status quo is going to figure itself out, while the rest of us are going, well, it's not going to figure itself out. We have to be shifting one person at a time, how we view it, and we have to get past our own stuff about having been involved in the creation of it in the first place, because we didn't know. Now we know. So how do we make it palatable to take all that information, to embrace new ways in ways that don't, you know, slap us in the face at the same time? Because nobody likes to be belittled for their learning. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all had experiences growing up where we had a kind-hearted teacher, but not a very effective teacher, that once we did learn something, aha, I knew you were going to learn that. Now you did. You were really stupid before, instead of really rewarding us for the step that we took forward. Right. We've all had that inside where we took a movement forward to something, and then the moment we did, we were slapped in some kind of a way, so we had a negative association with it. We're now connecting in new ways with incredible organizations and magazines and publications and people like yourselves. And last week we had James Elson on, CEO of Sustain Lane. Incredible news there about companies that are making a difference and making a change, and everyone's doing their best. And, you know, at least if we're in a vehicle going 100 miles an hour towards a brick wall, at least, you know, we're getting a lot of people to turn around and at least look in the other direction as best as possible. So the more that we can do this, the more that we can collectively serve, and I absolutely believe shift and change the world into what it is that we imagine inside and feel inside and know inside. Can you speak a little bit about that? What do you see as possible?
Oh man, I think we don't know what's possible.
Mm.
I think anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
What's possible is up to us. And to me, that's the most exciting thing in the world. I mean, I think the more boldly we can envision the kind of future that we want to live in, and do so in a way that, as you just described, is absolutely implicating to ourselves, then pretty much that's the only shot we have, to be honest, at this point. I don't think, you know, I'm not content with turning around so that I slam into the wall, you know, with the backlight.
Right.
You know, we've got to change a lot, and I think there's a lot to this, you know, this is a broad ranging conversation, which is great. And I think one thing I was going to say is that I think part of this is really waking up to the fact that we're not all the same, you know, we're not all at the same place, and so what applies to the, you know, so I would, you know, I'd say what applies to really galvanizing positive change at the leading edge, you know, we're talking about doesn't necessarily apply to everyone. I don't think everyone's in the same place to be able to, like I said earlier, even think about these things. One of the things that we were also really interested in at What is Enlightenment and at Enlighten Next, and something that Andrew's very interested in is integral philosophy. You know, Andrew and Ken Wilber are really good friends, and one of the kind of key insights of integral philosophy is that development, human development, social development happens in a vertical context. You know, we go from less conscious to more conscious, and so I think that basically trying to see these kind of deep structures of culture and of consciousness in ourselves and in the world can help us to see how to move forward, you know. And one, you know, because to me that's one of the worst or the most debilitating kind of dimensions of the postmodern society and the culture that we're living in is that we're supposed to see everybody as the same. We're supposed to not judge anything, and we're supposed to kind of, it's like, you know, my truth is my truth, your truth is your truth, and we all kind of, you know, slam into the wall with the backs of our heads. That's basically what will happen unless we can kind of step back from the whole situation and try to really see it in a much broader light and be able to respect each other, to include everyone, but also to be able to really make value distinctions and make value judgments about what, you know, what's helping things and what's harming things. So I think in terms of what's possible, changing our own orientation and our own relationship to life, where we're willing to kind of stand up for something higher, we're willing to put ourselves on the line, and kind of, you know, and really stretch to challenge ourselves and also challenge each other to come together in a much more radical way than we have yet. I think that's the thing that I think is the most challenging, that, you know, and I also think it's the most thrilling that we're faced with, because it really is possible. I mean, if there's one message of enlightenment, or there's one kind of simple, really simple way to understand what enlightenment means, it's, you know, it's this kind of unshakable conviction that's totally positive. It's an unshakable belief in our own potential and in our own freedom and in our own ability to change, really. It has to do with changing.
Mm-hmm.
And consciously changing, and doing that together. And then what's possible is anything. The sky really is the limit, and what makes that, what brings that out of the clouds of idealism and into the kind of hard realities of what we really do and how we really live in the world and how we are with each other is the very challenging but, again, very thrilling work of changing ourselves.
Right.
I said a lot, but that's my
absolutely it. That initial component is the awareness of this inquiry, and that simply being in the inquiry is facilitating internal shift. Opening one's mind to what is possible facilitates the shift and the change. Whenever we ask people, you know, how would you be? What could you accomplish if you were not inhibited? If there weren't things in your way, and then, you know, the mind opens up, and my goodness, things just flow. And if we can, and when we can, connect with others who are perceiving and seeing things from a perspective of what is possible, amazing things can happen. And we're clearly living in a time where we have so many new tools and resources of connectivity between like-oriented people. And whether it's the effect on the globe or whether it's effect politically, or, you know, I was speaking with Michael White this morning, a past guest and peace advocate, who is just really sharing an incredible perspective of possibility for peace in the Middle East that he's holding. He just came back from Iran and threw at me the notion of the input of feminine energy and leadership. And I mean, I don't know exactly what's going on tactically on the ground to say these things, but I just, when I even think about that, I go, my goodness, you know, if women, when women, as women, step into those power, those positions of influence where they clearly should be in our society, my goodness, those things would be incredible change, most likely in alignment with how we all really feel inside about what can be. But one of the major elephants in the room is that we have created a society where men, you know, are still so dominant. So the more that we talk about these things, the more that we allow ourselves to be in the inquiry, we pull ourselves deep inside to our own inner beings and expand just by being in the inquiry. And I find that simple notion to be, you know, incredibly exciting, because that way we can go about our work. And once you share something or broaden somebody in some way, you know, they can't go back. They've broadened it, and, you know, just go from there. Go from there.
Fantastic. I mean, I love your emphasis on inquiry and questioning, because that's what we're all about at What Is Enlightenment, and that's what Enlighten Next is all about as well. That's what Andrew Cohen's kind of spiritual engagement is driven by, is the quest to know and understand and deepen and develop how we see everything. And it's also, I love it that you mentioned women, because our current issue that just hit the newsstands last week is a very open, very exciting, broad-minded inquiry into women today and into what the next stage of women's liberation really is going to be, and what the kind of cutting-edge thinking and action is in terms of women coming together at a higher level and women being liberated at a deeper level. And so that's something you can look for as well on the newsstands. It's got the word woman very large on the cover. It says woman, a cultural, philosophical, and spiritual exploration. We got interviews with many different women, including Gloria Steinem and Eve Ensler and some spiritual teachers, Dottie Jahnke, Tenzin Palmo, a whole range of people. There's interviews with women from the Integral Institute. There's an amazing interview with four of the women from Enlighten Next, who are some of the most senior women students of Andrew Cohen, speaking about their own experience of this new potential. So it's an exciting and controversial issue as well, and it's a great one for a kind of inquiry into what the real cutting edge is today.
I want to thank you guys for being on the show, and just I appreciate the conversation and sharing with us about What is Enlightenment magazine, and remind listeners that they can come see you tonight in Berkeley at the Jazz Cafe on Addison, and you can get more information about What is Enlightenment at wie.org, and also the Universe Project. You can learn about that at enlightennext.org as well. Is that right?
That's right, yep.
Ross Robertson, thank you so much for being on, and thank you, Joel. I look forward to meeting you guys tonight in Berkeley.
Great. It was great to speak with you, Martin. I really appreciate the engagement, and I look forward to meeting you as well.
Likewise. See you tonight.
Thanks, Martin.
Okay.
Well, that was, I'm just absolutely fascinated with these gentlemen, and I appreciate their work, and I'm looking forward to meeting them tonight. And I implore you to go check out their, check out the website. Enlightennext.com. There's a link there on our website as well. You can hear this show and any past show of Reality Sandwich at realitysandwichradio.com. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and healthful living advocate with Healthful Living. You can read more about me at healthfulliving.org. We're here every Thursday at noon for Reality Sandwich, a palatable taste of the truth. Remember that all change begins with you. You're listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.